Congregation beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. And we don't always connect those two things together, perhaps, in the way that we should. Certainly you know, many of you, that these opening words of Psalm 97 direct us to the sovereign rule of God and the service we're called to before such a king. The Lord reigns, reality, response. Let the earth rejoice, and let all things rejoice. Not just the creation, not just his people, but all things are called to submit themselves before the rule of reign, because every knee will bow, perhaps not now, but certainly in that last day, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And yet these words then need to serve a distinct purpose for us, even now as we gather for worship. That our place right now, by way of that call, is before the presence of God in the person of Christ. That as we worship, we have been brought into the very throne room of heaven as those found in Christ. One who reigns, one whose session is now at the Father's right hand. A rule and reign that is real and ongoing. That's why he ascended to heaven. It's what we've confessed, to show that he is head of his church, the one through whom the Father governs all things. And so we praise him and bless him that that reign over us and for us is our blessing. It's not just a reality of which we know and assent to. This is our blessing. In fact, it's Paul's rejoicing in the beginning of Ephesians 1. Where he wants to say in all of that triune way, here is our blessing, even as we bless him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear it, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's ours because he reigns. That's assured to us because of the same. And so because that Savior reigns, not only do we have hope and assurance in one who is in our flesh in heaven, but also the enjoyment now of every good and perfect gift and blessing. That for Paul, that understanding of that blessing of Christ being at the right hand of God informs then all of the blessings that he continues to praise the Lord for, of holiness, of predestination, of adoption, of grace, of redemption, of forgiveness, of insight and purpose in Christ. But is that the blessing that we link with his reign? Because the struggle sometimes that we have is our understanding of what that reign should be, or what it should look like, or how it should operate in the world around us right now. That we don't always consider and praise God for these blessings that come to us by his reign, because we want to center on authority. And we want to center on power and control. And so even in praying, build your kingdom here and establish it, sounds a whole lot more like the disciples that we looked at last week. Is now when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is now when you're going to give the kingdom to the Christians? Are we now going to have rule and reign and authority? But that is not where we're called to find our trust and confidence. Our trust and confidence is not in earthly rules, but in a reign at the Father's right hand. A sovereign who is always king, no matter what is taking place in the world, because he rules over it. And so that's why the verses we've read, as well as our confession, speak something more in terms of our blessing in his rule and reign, even as they stand as a call to loving obedience and grateful service and response to those blessings. That have we even considered this morning the wonder in that rule and reign that we are afforded that invitation to come? And the ability to present ourselves before a holy God in the one who claims us at the right hand of the Father? Are we thankful for both truths? Again, before that throne of grace that he defends and preserves us from all enemies, but that also through his Holy Spirit, he pours out gifts from heaven upon us, his members. How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ, the one who reigns now, possess. And so we need all the more to praise the fact that he reigns, that he is holy, that he is worthy. And so as he is reigning in that way, are we taking up, not just as we worship, but in the lives that we live, a testimony of real rejoicing and a powerful God and Savior who is reigning and who's coming back again? That as those who rejoice in making this powerful God and Savior known in words and in deeds. That's a part of the story of that reign that we need to tell. Not just heading to the end, or not just saying, build your kingdom here in a way that we see and can. But no, let us know your kingdom. Let us know your reign. Let us see it even in the lives that we live together. And so the believer proclaims the story of the blessed rule and reign of Christ our Lord. That has to be on our lips. And it's a story then, even as Paul unpacks for us, of blessed encouragement. We see that in the first couple of verses of our text. In a blessed enlightenment in the middle of our text. And then finally in a blessed empowerment in verses 20 through 23. But that blessed encouragement we see in verses 15 through the first part of verse 17. And in those words, I pray, even as we've read them, that you've taken a great deal of encouragement individually. Here is the blessing of Christ for us. And yet these words drive us to something more, that even as Paul is making transition here in the book of Ephesians of a great need that Paul is taking within the writing of this letter to the church to encourage each other in the rule and reign of Christ. Yes, in those realities, but also in how we see it, of how we see the rule and reign of Christ coming to bear in each other's lives. That's the point of this encouragement. That we can be and we ought to be commending each other for the faith that he gives, knowing that in that way he is showing his rule over us. That he is continuing to work that rule and reign in us. That as he continues to remake and reshape us, that he is to be praised. But we can be encouraged in it along with all of his chosen people. And so as Paul takes the time to encourage the saints, so ought we, in an understanding of who's ruling and reigning and always will, that we might encourage each other. That when we encourage each other, brothers and sisters, we're praising the holy and reigning Christ for his work in us and among us. That's the testimony that you give. And so in response to the reign of our God, Paul shares how we are to bring him praise by way of such encouragement. How we submit ourselves in encouragement to the proclamation of the rule and reign of Christ. The first way is this. We rejoice and respond to the reign of Christ in commendation. And so sometimes we use those two words, encouragement and commendation, perhaps interchangeably, but we want to go to each other and commend the ways in which we see the rule and reign of Christ evident. How is God working in our numbers? How do we see holiness? How do we see spiritual discipline? How do we see a longing for his mission? If we see these things, we ought to praise the Lord for them, no doubt, but we also ought to be that encouragement. I see God at work in you. And so what does Paul write? Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. That isn't just an Ephesian reality. That's a believer reality. And so here is Paul commending it as a testimony of the rule and reign of Christ. That Ephesians, this kind of love, this kind of faith would not be known apart from his reigning in you. Apart from his work and apart from his way. And so how necessary it is, brothers and sisters, to give that kind of commendation to each other. Not only to build each other up, and certainly that's a vital part of what we do here, what we need to do here, but also to praise the name of our reigning Lord. He's working. He's building his church. He's caring for his people. He's using those blessings to operate in our midst, and we are glad. That we would go to each other and say, I praise God for you that you are living a life by faith and not by sight. Or I thank God for you that you are living a, and serving in the faith that is exercising itself in love. See, this isn't just transition for Paul. This is gospel work for him. This is saying in submission to that rule and reign, I'm glad that I can see it, that we can see it. And so, brothers and sisters, are we blessing each other with such words of commendation? That when we see lives of that kind of testimony lived out, one living in submission to a good and gracious King, we should commend it. We should praise it. Again, giving glory to God, but still as an encouragement to the saints to continue to grow in the same. And that as we continue to praise God for that rule and reign known in the lives of those called and chosen and precious to Him, who submit to Him with all heart and life, are we then not encouraged to the same? Father, may that testimony be more full in me. Might it be seen and known more fully in me to the glory of your name. And so that ultimately then, as we see those things and seek to bring that before the Lord, we rejoice and respond to the reign of Christ, not only in commendation, but in intercession for more of the same. This leads us to pray, that blessed encouragement of the life of prayer amongst God's people. That in knowing that Christ is reigning in authority and that the Father is willing and able to give good gifts to His children, we cry out, Abba. Not just for our own individual grocery list, but we come for an understanding of the rule and reign of Christ to be made known. That it would be known in our church. That it would be known in our kingdom serving. And by way then of that blessing in the Father, we can serve one another in love and trust in a direct way of encouragement, namely the encouragement, hear this, of praying for one another. That's a part of submitting ourselves to the rule and reign of Christ. Because not only does such prayer come before the Lord in sweet praise, but isn't that an encouragement to you to know that, I mean, even when someone comes to you, and again, the real one, not like, oh, I'll pray for you and then you go away and you don't do it. Like those people who actually come to you and say, I'm praying for you. Or you know that they've prayed for you, or they take the time to say, hey, can we pray together? There's a great deal of encouragement in that. A great thankfulness of, Lord, not only are you caring for me in that rule and reign, but I want to praise you for it. It's an encouragement to know we're being prayed for and our lives are lifted before that King at the throne of God. That's what Paul is reminding the Ephesians of. That he's literally saying here, I'm praying for you. And so Paul leaves then, even in those words, an example for us of what we're to pray for in submission to Christ's reign and the desire to bring blessed encouragement in Christ. That we pray that we will all more fully submit to the Father and to His will in the example of Christ. We pray that we would be overwhelmed with the glory of the Father in our salvation and in all things. We pray that we would come to know more and more and behold more and more the works of the Father and the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, even as Paul does here, that we would all be granted a life of wisdom afforded by the Word and Spirit. All things that would give testimony to a good and gracious King. And that in seeing the evidence of His reign established in the hearts and lives of others, not only should we commend and encourage it, but we should pray for more of it. That we haven't come to a point where I've graduated from sanctification. No, Lord, bring my life into further conformity with yours. May I know not only the encouragement that you're continuing to work for that, but the prayers of God's people and longing for the same for me, knowing that they are praying for me in like manner. And so we should commend and encourage it, but also rejoice before the Lord in prayer, asking that His work would continue and be fully and firmly established. We can do that. Because He reigns. We can do that because we have that assurance and surety at the right hand of the Father. And so we can encourage and be encouraged because He reigns. We can keep commending others as we see that reign known in work and faithfulness in each of His people. that we can keep praying in the desire to see more of His rule and reign evident, not only in my life, but also in the lives of each of the members of the church I am thankful for. That these blessings of commendation and intercession will lead us together to seek more and more of Him, and more of His work, and more of His will, and more of His wonder being worked among us. And so for that, we need eyes to see it, to go out of our way to see it, but oftentimes it should be very obvious before us. And so for that, we need a blessed enlightenment in that in the second place. That we need an enlightenment, and even kids, you can hear that, in light, we need light in order to see things. We can't see things in a dark room. We don't want to see things in a mirror dimly. We long for that day in which we will see things and see Him face to face. But we need enlightenment because we need to know God. And so that too is a part of our story in terms of submission to the rule and reign of Christ. In sin and brokenness, I could not seek God. I shut my eyes to His goodness. I shut my eyes to His glory. I exchanged His truth for a lie. I worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator who was to be praised. And so apart from that rule and reign being established, not only over all things, but also over my heart, I would never see God. I would never know God. That even in this last week, singing a song, how can we not see God? I can't because of my sin. And so I need that grace to overwhelm my soul and to change me inside out and give me eyes to see so that I would behold that glory. So that I would see His reign and that I would rejoice in it. And if we've been given those glorious gifts of faith and love, eyes to see and ears to hear, that is a testimony of the rule and reign of Christ. That's what you're saying. He's poured out good gifts to me. He's made me His servant. He's made me His child. That kind of knowledge is already too wonderful for us in terms of that kind of enlightenment. But there's more. There's more for us. There's more to know of the God who reigns. To know of that reign most fully praised and known as He is most fully known in us and in our lives. And so Paul is asking for more. I don't just want you to see it. I don't want you to just assent to it or give testimony of it in terms of your commendation and intercession. I want you, saints in Ephesus, I want you, saints here at Faith, to be given more. To be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wants us to know Him. Not just know stuff about Him. Not just facts about Him. Not just ways in which we could say, oh, here's how His rule and reign happens. He says, I want you to know Me. And yes, that's knowing His rule and reign, but that starts with Him. He wants us to know Him in faith and love and the power and glory of that rule and reign. And as He works that rule and reign in us for His glory and for our good. And so this has something to say then about desire. What's going to motivate us? What, according to that rule and reign, is going to be that thing that gets us up in the morning? Maybe a little grudgingly on a time change Sunday morning, right? But what's going to do that? What's going to drive me into this day? What's going to drive me into this life? It's going to be a desire for Him. I want to know You. I want to know You in every bit of the life that You've given me, with every breath, with every subject I learn about You in school, in every way that I work, in every way that I serve, in every relationship of my life. I want to know You in the revelation of the knowledge of Him. A desire to see Him and know Him more. And so it changes our priorities. It changes our perspective. That enlightenment says, what am I doing? What am I chasing after? What do I long for? What is my heart? What is my life going to be directed to? Paul writes it this way in Philippians 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing. I want to know Christ, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes by faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And he doubles down on it, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. But hear this in terms of that enlightenment. That you're not here just to know that God reigns or that He's working. You are called to know Him. To intentionally, by way of that enlightenment, take steps each and every moment of each and every day to know Him. I press on to make it my own. Why? Because an ascended King claims you in every moment and intercedes for you in every moment for that singular purpose that you would know Him. That you know His love. And His grace, and His mercy, and His forgiveness, and His kindness, and His promise. And Paul says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. He's confessing his own weakness in this. I'm not there yet, and you're not there yet, and we haven't learned enough yet, and I don't know Him. In fact, the more that I know Him, the more I realize how little I know of Him. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward toward what lies ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To that place on the throne, to a life lived under His authority, to a life that gives testimony of that wonder and that goodness. And so to that end here in Ephesians, Paul is asking for, and what we need to keep asking for, is a blessed enlightenment. Yes, that I would know God as Lord and Savior, but that He would be for us the greatest of our blessings, the greatest of my longing, the one to whom all my praise will be given. Because what is the blessing of such enlightenment? What is the blessing of Christ's session at the Father's right hand? That you may know. It should be bolded in this text in Ephesians 1. That you could translate that we actually get to know this Savior. Really, truly, fully. This is what's ours, not only for now, but for eternity. That you may know this Savior and King. And that we get to praise Him for that knowledge and for that longing. As we more and more submit our wills and minds to desire Him more and to seek Him in the very spirit of wisdom and the word of revelation poured out into us and opened before us in Christ. That because of His rule and reign, we are enlightened to have the privilege to praise Him for every good and praiseworthy thing we receive in union with Him. For every awesome and praiseworthy thing we receive in community together. He's why our eyes and hearts have been opened. That we would focus on Him and His reign. That we would be enlightened to know the three things written in our text. Given to know these things. Not just that these things exist, but to know Him and the blessings provided for us. He enlightens us to know the hope to which we have been called. That He has come and is coming. And we have hope for every moment in which we believe is good, but also in that which we believe is difficult. Because all of our hope is founded in the rule and reigning Christ. And we can have hope that He is at work even in ways that we cannot presently see, because we know that He is coming again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. The hope to which we have been called. He enlightens us to know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. We have eyes open and bright light poured in to be able to look around us in this room and say, there is His inheritance. That amongst His people is His inheritance. This is who he lived for. This is who he died for. This is who he gave his blood for. This is who he's given his promise to. This is who he's poured out his spirit in. In them will he be glorified. We are his recompense, his prize, and his great reward. That in Christ, we get to know that and see that, that as he is working in his people by his word and spirit, we can rejoice all the more in the fact that he is being glorified and that he will continue to be brought glory in the midst of his true people, his church. And he enlightens us to know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. He reigns, establishing his purposes in us according to that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that is at work sovereignly in every moment at the hand of a good and gracious King. We know that. And can trust that immeasurable greatness, knowing that his plans always happen exactly as he has ordained them, for good and for glory. This is what is yours in the rule and reign of Christ. Are your eyes opened to those realities in the enlightenment he has blessed us with and the benefit and blessing of his rule and reign? Or simply put, do you know him? Are you getting to know him? Have you been given to knowing him? Is that the mission of your life, the direction, the passion of the same? Desiring to know more and more of what is promised and sure by way of his person, by way of his reign. Have we given ourselves to knowing this kind of blessed hope and inheritance and power, that which is surely promised to us and all of his people, not just in mind, but also in heart and life and praise and grateful service? All of it, blessing of his rule and reign. And the privilege of making that story known by the blessing then of that same empowerment in the last, and that in the last place. Because by way of this ongoing reign, he's going to keep making that power known. He doesn't stop. It's that power that we give thanks for, that he makes known in each of us in the life of his body, the church, that power. By way of that power, he pours out his gifts. By that power, he protects and defends. That's awesome. What a hope is ours. What an inheritance is ours. And as awesome as that is, we've been blessed with a yet greater empowerment of being made to know not only the work of God, but to know God. And what Paul does then is ramps that up and saying, you've been made to know, even in a limited way, by way of that empowerment, the relationship between the Father and the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. That because of the rule and reign of Christ, we might proclaim a story of a triune God who has done all things for us in our salvation, so that we would serve in all things for the praise of his glory. That triune God is our hope as he reigns, as he continues to reign over his work in his church, over those he has gathered, by those he has empowered as king. The one to whom all power belongs. His is a great and heavenly hope for us. That the Father works in us, in Christ Jesus, all the blessings of his resurrection and session and reign. This King Jesus is our life and light to be known and to know by us. Be known by us. We live each moment empowered by him, who will always be far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. That because of that hope in heaven, we know that there is no one and nothing that could ever take our life away, and no one or nothing that could separate us from his love according to his grace and power. And that Holy Spirit in us is the guarantee of the same. And more, the power of that sanctification that we would be commending, and we would be praying, and we would be enlightened, and we would be sent out on mission together, helping us by faith and the word to truly know God and love God and serve God and praise God and empower us to follow after him and make him known. But that isn't just heavenward. That isn't just now, well, I'm glad we have hope and promise so that when heaven comes and we're... You see, what you have and what Paul is praying for here in an understanding of the rule and reign of Christ is an empowerment for now. He rules on earth. He reigns over earth. That empowerment should drive us not just to know Him, but to proclaim Him. If all of that promise is true, then He has a church that He's continuing to gather together. And I have every confidence, every reason, every empowerment to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. We have a message of a now living and empowered hope for this life on earth that we must share. As His rule is known in us, as we proclaim His work in us, as the church makes known His gospel in word and deed by way of His empowerment, we make the hope known. That in fact we can go one step further and say we operate by way of God's empowerment as His hope on earth, as those found in Christ Jesus. As Brian Chappell writes, quote, "The church is God's instrument for world transformation and renewal," end quote. Because a reigning Christ empowers us. And He does that amongst us together on this earth as His church for the life of the world. We're here for a reason. A reason dictated by the terms of a good and gracious King. Because brothers and sisters, in knowing this Christ, we have the hope in Christ that they need. We have the answer. We've been enlightened to know it. More than that, we've been enlightened to know Him. And so we're empowered in His blessing to be for the praise of Him who has provided all things for us. And to do so in living that provision out day by day in submission, thankful submission to the rule and reign and knowledge and glory of a reigning King. And that empowerment should work in us, yes, a great deal of wonder and praise and adoration and thanksgiving, but also a bunch of humility and conviction. Do I commend that which He commends? Am I praying for that which He calls me to pray for? Are my eyes turned to and His enlightenment that which He would long for me to know of Him? Is my encouragement, my enlightenment, and my empowerment leading me not only to praise the reigning Lord, but to serve Him according to the hope that I've been given as a testimony to the world that King Jesus is my only hope? There's a lot of heart work that has to be done in that question. A lot of the working of His Spirit and His Word among us together. Is that hope known as we give ourselves to knowing Him? Is it known in our fulsome obedience? Is it known in our grateful submission to the only head and King that is Jesus? Is all my blessing found in Him? And are each of us using all of His blessings intentionally with purpose to praise Him and faithfully serve His mission in the world? In that hope and power He's provided, in the knowledge of Him, in knowing Him. Because He has said to us again, by way of His word and confession, my reign is known, and my glory is known. I am known to you. So repent before me. Repent of all of the ways that you rebel against His reign. All of the ways in which you will not submit yourself to His word. For all the ways you've robbed Him of His glory instead of commending Him. For all the ways you've despised His provision instead of asking for it. In all of the ways you've sought to fulfill His mission by your own power when He says, I give you all the power you need in my word and spirit. But then let's believe in this one who has caused Himself to be known to us. To believe the hope that He is. and the hope that He's provided for this life and the life to come. In the fullness of that encouragement and enlightenment and empowerment provided for us by our King, to the glory of a reigning King, even Jesus Christ, knowing that He's coming again. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonder of the blessings of all of that reign, of all of Your rule in our midst. And Father, we confess to You, even as we have already in this service, the number of ways in which we rebel against it, or we don't take time to understand more fully not only who You are, but what You've provided for us in Your Son, in Your Word, in Your Spirit. Father, we become so myopic, so selfish that we don't even consider even all the ways fully in which we are to submit to Your rule and reign and Your mission by way of the authority that has been given to Christ in whom we are found. Our lives don't always look very hopeful, much less ones that share the hope of Christ. So, Father, would You help our unbelief and increase our faith? Would You remove any cataracts from our eyes that don't allow us to see the beauty of Your glory and Your goodness and Your splendor? Remove from us any thought that we would close our eyes to what You have for us, that we would go after what we would want in blindness. But that, Father, more and more fully, our prayer, even as Paul's prayer would be, is that we would know You. That we would know You, that we would long for it, that we would consider everything else garbage and rubbish. That we would know You and love You. And so, Father, thank You for that work among us, in that One who rules and reigns at Your right hand, and in the One that You and that King have sent, that powerful Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, in all of these ways, as a body together, may we give testimony to the reign of Christ. And Father, in our giving, in our serving, in our worship, even in our resting today, might You receive all the praise and glory for it. For we ask it in King Jesus' name. Amen.